Hello, everyone. Hope y'all are having a good day. I am having a good hair day, so that always makes the day so much better. Actually, the bangs don't look as good on camera as I thought they would, but my hair's nice and straight, which doesn't always happen. I got a cat in the window, which doesn't always happen. So I don't, and it's like 60 degrees already here in Nashville. So I've already had a walk today. It's just been a good day. All right, let's get started. We are going to be talking about what level ups are and what they aren't today. Let me get Coach Kathy on screen or on stage. Let me get my Q&A up and get the chat up so that we can rock and roll. And I hope that for all of you, if you aren't checking the Facebook group, I've dropped a couple of videos recently just to the Facebook group. One yesterday was about period protocols because it's one of the most common questions that we get here. And someone in the membership, she's a little bit newer, struggling with her period, didn't know kind of what to do. And so I shot a video, just a little, I just went walking and just answered the question. So if you're interested in that, you can always go check it out in the Facebook group. You can even leave questions there for me if you want. Usually when I create a post, it's a lot easier for me to, I get tagged and it stays kind of up in my notifications. So I'm happy to answer more questions about it. But even if you're not on your period, I will say the video really centered more, like it talked about your period, but it centered more on not going into fuck it eating mode, kind of how to have like different times and have different protocols for things like where we're, like just kind of thinking ahead. And it also really got into one of the things that triggers so much of just abandonment eating when we're on our periods and stuff, or vacation or whatever, is this idea that there's like a good way and a bad way to eat. Because I will tell you, if like I want all of you to think about it, like let's just use your period as an example. And this could be when you're sick, this could be a whole host of things. This could be vacation, this could be long weekends, whatever. If you never, ever thought that what you were eating was bad, how would that change how you ate? Like if you just were like, you know what, today I'm going to have some chips, and you just had chips because you're on your period. Or let's say you are craving chocolate, you know this about you. And if rather than thinking, like, here I am eating the bad foods when I'm on my period, if you were just to think, you know, when I'm on my period, these are the foods that I eat. Like how that would clean up so much crap for all of you. The one thing I think that gets missing very often, and this ties to leveling up, is this idea that there is like it's almost like we have a hidden agenda of rules about how we should be eating. And then when we like when things are going normally, that agenda really doesn't get tapped on very much. Like it's, you know, for some of us, it's just easy to pick salads. And, you know, like there's certain times of the month where it's easier to eat what we would call the healthier stuff. And we don't have any drama about that. But then if we eat the other foods, the drama comes in behind it, and the drama is what causes us to feel shame, worry, anxiety, and we start cranking up all these feelings. And then the next thing you know, we go into fuck it mode. We eat more than we actually even want. We're just kind of eating fast because we know we're going to take it away again because it's bad, all of those things. So it's fundamentally, I think that video can kind of help everybody with this idea of, you know, I really want us to get to where all foods are pretty neutral. You know, there's foods that you really enjoy the taste of, and then there's going to be foods that you maybe really enjoy the health benefits of it. There are times in your life where you're not as nutritionally like needy. Just like when I go on vacation, I don't think a lot about nutrition. I just don't. I just eat when I'm hungry. I stop it enough. I enjoy a few things, but I never like what has gone away from me is the urgency to eat all I can because I think, well, I'm on vacation and I know when I get home, we got to get serious again. I'm not tugging at that all the time. And then when I do that, it just leads for a more just Like, I just want you to think about weight loss. If you just ate all the foods just in a like a smooth, balanced way where nothing was super emotionally charged. And it also works on the foods that you love the taste of. You know how like when you really idolize a food and you act like it's so important to everything, it's like I could never live without this. And you create all this extra drama around it. You almost get like a euphoric sense when you start eating it, and then you feel like you can't stop. Like, I want you to imagine if even your favorite foods, like you enjoyed them, they were good, but you weren't just sitting there having like orgasm after orgasm after orgasm. It was just a nice ride. When we really do that, when we can just get to where we can just kind of enjoy things and whatnot, it also frees us up. To like, if you want to have orgasmic experiences in life, have them out, the majority of them outside of food. Like, I kind of have like a goal in life. 10% of my overall enjoyment in life, I want it coming from food. You know where I want the other 90% coming from? Life itself. Like, pride in what I'm doing, working on my marriage, working on the relationship with my mother, my family, you know, being with y'all. Like, that's where I want all the big experiences coming in. I don't want to spend my life trying to make 90%, like it's got like, because all this is so bad, now I've got to overly inflate my relationship with food to make my life tolerable. Okay, so let's talk about level ups because I think it's important. And this dovetails in because one of the things that I think a lot of you don't realize is the difference between a level up and like what a level up is and what a level up isn't. Now, I was going to start with talking about what it is and all the different things, but I'm going to reverse the order because I think it's really important for y'all to understand what level ups aren't. So, just as a little recap, a level up started years ago, and I'd read a book. I do not, I cannot, I mean, this was probably, I think I started the concept of leveling up 7 or 8 years ago. So I don't remember the book, but if I had to guess, it could be Atomic Habits. It could be Tiny Habits. I'm trying to think of books I read way back then. There's tons of them, but they all have a similar, like there's the book called The Compound Effect. It probably actually came from The Compound Effect now that I think about it, because I've been talking about it for a long time. But I called it a 1% level up because I looked back on how I lost weight and what I realized is that I was making small incremental changes every day to something. I was on the hunt every day to figure out how I could do something just a little bit better than I did the day before. Now, that doesn't mean just food, but when I was in that mindset of seeking to do something just a little bit better, it gave me insight into all the ways that I could improve my life every single day. What I had done in the past with diets is I didn't look for small changes. I tried to make really big changes. I tried to make sweeping changes. I would freak out my nervous system. I would be really good for a few weeks and then blow it. Or I'd be really good until life threw a curveball. And the second life threw a curveball, I hadn't made small changes to where they could get established in my life, where I could figure out how they worked. Like, I was just basically made so many big changes that I was hanging on by tooth and nail until something rocked me. So when you're doing a 1% level up, it's like micro dosing. It's just like micro changes. The other thing that it does is when you're making 1%, you bypass the part of your brain that turns it into a command, a punishment, or something overwhelming. So a level up should never feel like a have to. It shouldn't have the word, I should be doing this in it. Like, for a lot of you, what I want you to really understand is that we want to create such a small change that we know we could do it even if life went to shit for today. Now, that doesn't mean that sometimes, like, you'll be rocking along for a while. Let's say that you are really, like, you have really worked on your nighttime eating. Okay. And you're no longer nighttime eating. You have done so many level ups that you no longer nighttime eat. And then let's say both your parents get diagnosed with dementia. You become the full-time caregiver, all while you have a kid trying to graduate high school and they're barely passing. And maybe getting into college is looking harder and harder for them. And yet it was always y'all's dream. So now you're suddenly in a stressful part of life. And nighttime eating comes back. That doesn't mean the level ups and stuff didn't work. It just means you've hit a new stress level. And so guess what? You're probably going to need to 1% level up in a lot of different ways during a very stressful event to get back on track for yourself. So the big thing that I want all of you to take away is a level up should feel doable. You start wondering if it could work. You think things like, I'm curious about trying this. I think I can. Level ups have sometimes a lot of certainty that you can do it, a lot of assuredness, but often the level ups have a little doubt also. Well, I don't know. Very often, I say I'm going to do things and I don't. That's okay if your brain's offering that. That's a normal function of your brain. Anytime you're going to change anything, it should throw up some doubts and hesitations. That is your brain just trying to do what it's wired to do, which is in the automatic center of your brain, the habit part of your brain. It is supposed to throw up doubts, insecurities, and worries anytime you're trying to make a change. So nobody needs the doubts to go away. No one needs the uncertainty to go away. You don't need your brain to be like, woo-hoo, we're 100% doing this. Yeah. I wouldn't look for high motivation when you're making changes. I wouldn't look for excitement. I wouldn't look for like 100% confidence. When we are making changes, including level ups, we want to hit the sweet spot of a level up. And that means the sweet spot of a level up sounds more like this. I wonder if I could do it. Let's just see. I'm curious about what will happen. This doesn't feel like it's good enough, but I'm willing to try it. I don't know. In the past, I've had problems with. If you're having those thoughts, you're exactly on the right track. You are probably in level up land. A level up shouldn't sound like this. I have to do this or I'll never lose weight. I should be also doing these things. You better do this or you won't be able to. They do not sound like a command. They do not feel like a punishment. And they don't overwhelm you. If you feel like it's a command, first and foremost, decide, do I really want to try this level up? If so, I just need to talk to myself better about it. Rather than saying, you better do this, say, I want to try this today to see what happens. Rather than saying, like, well, you fucked up yesterday, so today you have to, just say, yesterday didn't go as planned. Today, I want to try these things. Today, I'm willing to do these things. And even maybe add to the end, because I love myself, because I'm ready to give myself the best today. We want to change the thinking that goes behind it. And if it's overwhelming, I always say if it feels overwhelming, if it feels like it's too much, it probably is. It's like if it stinks like shit, go look for the turd. So if it feels overwhelming, you start breaking it down. It's like, okay, trying this thing feels like it's too much. If I made it simpler or less intense, then what would I do? And you keep doing that until you don't feel overwhelmed, until you can take a deep breath and say, like, okay, if I don't, I might feel doubt now, but it's not overwhelming. And if I'm feeling doubt, then I'm a go. Because Grinz told me this is normal. This is how it works. Okay. So level ups also aren't only food related. And that's what we're going to move into now, is to the section of how level ups happen in a lot of ways. So let's talk about the food changes first, and then we're going to get into a lot of the other things. So I came up with a big list of stuff, and then inside your resource for the level up month that we're doing, we've given you tons and tons and tons of level ups in there. So if you still have not downloaded this resource, high's the time. Let's get it going. Don't be sitting around just listening to me and thinking, oh yeah, that sounds great. All this level up stuff makes so much sense. That Corinne, she's so fucking entertained. I listen to her all the time. Go print some shit off. Screenshot it. Put it on your phone. Pick stuff. Like, go through it and pick something and make a challenge for the next 30 days. I'm going to try 30 different level ups. If that's too overwhelming, guess what? Every week, I'm going to pick one. I'm going to do it for a week. Meet your nervous system where it's at, bitches. That's what we got to do. All right. So level ups happen in many ways. Number one, you can always change the quantity of the food. So instead of changing the quality of the food, which is what most of us think about most often when we are thinking about level ups, we think about good, better, best. We think about level ups must be going from apple pie to an apple, or apple pie to applesauce, whatever. It doesn't have to just be about the quality of food. So you can change the quantity. You can, one level up would be like, I'm going to spend an entire month with my number one problem meal doing the halftime method. And I'm going to tell all of you, give me an emoji of reaction. If your biggest issue right now is not eating to enough at dinner or on the weekends when you get around your favorite foods, tell me if that's you. Yeah, the vast majority of us. So every single one of you, I'm going to give you your fucking level up. Here it is. You know your problem. You are not a snowflake, and you are not so ignorant that you do not know what meals tempt you the most, what foods tempt you the most, or which, like if it's weekends. Now what you're going to do is you are going to do the halftime method with your problem meal. The halftime method is simple. I make thy plate. Sit thy happy ass down. I don't care if it's in bed like Corinne when you eat dinner, or if you at the table because you like a kitchen table moment. You eat half. Set your shit down. Get you some water. Set a timer for 2 damn minutes. And if you can't wait 2 minutes, you need to get coached. That food ain't going nowhere. I want you to figure out how to sit for 2 minutes and listen to what your brain and your body's telling you. And where are they in conflict? We're looking for the conflict. So if you eat half and your body is like, I don't know if we're at enough, but I guarantee we're getting close. And your brain is like, oh, sound the alarm. You're fixing to be wasteful. I just know your partner's going to call you out. Oh my God, it's recession times. You're going to go broke and live in a van down by the river if you don't eat your Salisbury steak. We want to look for the conflict. We want to know the difference between first minute, I'm going to just pay attention to my body. What is my body's fucking wisdom saying? Is my stomach getting bloated? Am I breathing normally? Am I already starting to break a sweat because I'm getting full? Am I already doing the burps? What am I distracted? Am I wanting to like do something else? What's happening so I can get to know? Am I at enough? Then the second minute, guess what you get to do? You get to turn on Meals of Our Lives. And that is the soap opera going on in your head about if you're at enough or not. You're going to die if you don't eat. You're going to starve later if you don't finish this. Your partner's going to look at you and be like, why aren't you finishing that? We want to know the drama. Because if your body is saying one thing and your brain is saying another, guess what we got to do? We have to get to know our body, and then we have to get to know the shitty thoughts, because we're going to have to listen to our body. So you want to understand that, oh, like, oh, it's no wonder it's hard for me to stop enough, because this is all the crap that I think when it's time. It ain't because I don't know my body, and it ain't because of all these other things. It's simply because when I think I'm going to stop eating, especially something at night when I'm de-stressing, or something that tastes really good, because that's the only fucking treat I ever get. It's the only way I ever take a break. It's good for me to know that, because I'm going to be stopping at enough because that's what my body needs. And I'm going to be working on my mind around what I'm finding. So I would take the soap opera. I would take Meals of Our Lives straight on over to either the Facebook group or to Ask Coaches and be like, this is what I'm thinking. I think this is why stopping at enough has been hard for me. Let's talk about it. What can I be doing with those thoughts? Now, I'm going to tell all of you, if you notice your drama is what's going to try to keep you eating, the best thing that you can do is prove your drama wrong. Don't overeat so that you can just assume your drama is true. Stop eating. See if you get hungry later. See if you indeed starve if you don't eat the last little bit. See if your partner makes comments. And if they do, guess what? You can open up dialogue and say, you know what? You are right. It is kind of wasteful. Tomorrow I'm going to serve myself half. How about that? Rather than being like, oh my God, my partner looks at what I'm eating and makes all the comments. So I'm going to spend the rest of my life weighing more than I would like to weigh because I don't want to say, you're right. I don't have to serve myself as much anymore. Good to know. Thank you. Moving on with my weight loss so I can be proud of myself, so I can feel good, so I can reverse my meds, get off them son of a bitches, whatever it is that you want for yourself. Stop letting this bullshit stand in your way of your dreams. All right. So we eat half. We've taken our 2-minute break. But let's say you need to keep going. It's like, I don't think I'm at enough. We just eat half again. And then we repeat. And you just keep making halves until you know you're at enough. Eventually, now I know so y'all, my OCD crowd, my perfectionists are going to be like, you would have forever. Look, we ain't not going to play that game. We are not going to sit around and act like this is some kind of complicated scientific formula. You just eat half until the food's gone. If the food's gone, that means you're probably serving yourself what you need for enough. And when you do this over enough time, you get really good at being able to serve yourself the amount of food it's probably going to take. Now, somebody's going to bitch and say, this just sounds like a lot of work. Why would I even bother? You tell me why you would bother with this. Because you know what else is a lot of work? Trying to figure out what to fucking wear every day when your clothes don't fit. You know what else is a lot of fucking work? Spending time every day not liking yourself. You know what else is a lot of fucking work? Going to the doctor and getting meds because you ain't done shit about your weight. Feeling bad every day that you overate, that's a lot of fucking work too. It's an emotional load. So yeah, we gonna do something very deliberate as a level up to figure out our shit. That is exactly what we're gonna do. And it will only feel like work the first few times. And then when I promise you, ask yourself this. If in 30 days, I was down 5 pounds, is it worth doing it? If in 12 weeks, I'm down 15 pounds because I sat and worked on this, would it be worth it? At the end of 12 weeks, if I actually did now know my enough and I didn't feel like these foods now controlled me, now would it be worth it? Is it worth the work? Think bigger, bitches. Do not be thinking about just like, oh my God, it seems like it's going to be a lot of work around those meals. It's not a lot of work. You know what it is? It's fucking worth it. You can think about it however you want. I would consider it's fucking worth it. All right. There's another level up. So y'all can do, like, in terms of quantity, we've got 1,001 ways to level up. You can leave 2 bites behind. You can use smaller plates. You can serve yourself a little bit less. There's all kinds of stuff that you can do to level up the quantity of food that you're eating. The next place that you can level up is in consistency. So for a lot of you, you could try to eat at home, like one night a week. If you were someone who eats out all the time, then one of the things that you could do is say, like, you know what? I want to try leveling up. I want to try to eat at home once a week. In my mind, I'm going to one day be someone who actually does eat at home. So if that's you, that's one thing you could do. You could also, if you are, let's say you never plan, a level up could be, I will make 2 plans a week for this month just to see how it goes. You could also, if you normally are only on plan 4 days a week, guess what you could do? You could aim for 5. You look at the 3 days that you're typically off plan, like you just kind of look back at your history and say, like, what are the common denominators? Is it certain days I'm off plan? Is it after certain events, like I'm only off plan on days I work late? I'm only off plan on days when my evening gets hijacked by kids' activities or friends or whatever. So then what you could do is you could look at it and say, like, okay, I'm going to come up with some strategies as to what to do differently, knowing that those are my problems. So a level up might be to try this so that I can be on plan 5 times a week instead of just 4 for the next month. You also can do level up micro changes. You could eat until full for a while. If you have a lot of fear around stopping at enough, and so you're chronically way overeating because you're trying to stop at enough, back the truck up and say, like, all right, I'm going to eat until full. I'm just not going to eat until explosion level now. So I am going to eat like just shy of what I've been eating, because sometimes what happens is if I am really overeating and enough might feel very restrictive to me, it could be triggering like this fear, like it could just be triggering a lot of things. So we'll work with where you're at now. So for the next few weeks, don't way overeat because you're just like, enough doesn't work for me. So you kind of throw it all away. So like, you know what? I may not be eating to enough, but what I could do is I could eat to a level where it's a little bit less than what I normally do, so I can make a little progress. That's what I did when I was losing weight. Like, it was really hard for me to just, like, I was never going to stop it enough in the beginning. So I had to just get used to eating less than how I was eating. So, like, I've told y'all this several times, like, when we would order pizza, you know, like we would order a lot of times two mediums, and Chris and I would each get a medium. And so when we started doing, like when I was ready to kind of level up, rather than eating a medium pizza by myself, I was like, let's just get a large, and I'm going to have like X amount of slices. Now, I can't remember what I started with. It was probably like four, maybe four big old slices of pizza or something like that. But it got me out of ordering a whole pizza for me. It got me sharing with, like, got me used to sharing with him. So I didn't feel like, oh my gosh, he's going to eat mine. So I got used to that part of weight loss, where I didn't feel threatened that somebody would eat my food. Cause I always felt that way. Like I was always worried about my food getting hijacked. And I think that's just from growing up so poor. Like even now I have to watch myself. This was like, this is probably a, like, I don't even think we were living in this house. I think we were living in the last house. And I think I told y'all this, it was a couple of years ago, where I'd ordered these chips that I love. And I had a full day of calls on Sunday. I was fucking looking forward to having these chips after my calls. Like I was gonna get a Subway. I had my favorite cheddar and sour cream baked Lay's in the pantry. Like y'all, I had made it out in my head that this was gonna be an orgasmic event. I go to the pantry, and the only thing left was crumbs in the bottom of the fucking bag. My son ate my chips. And I will tell you, and this is like 2 years ago. I've been at this for a long time. The anger that went through my body, you would have thought that, you know, he was out kicking puppies. I was so fucking mad. Like, mad. Not that Logan ate them, but my meal has been ruined. It's so unfair. He should have known better. Like all the things were coming up. He comes downstairs and I looked at him and I said, "Did you eat my chips?" Like that. And I could tell by the look on my child's face. That is all I said. And he could tell by my expression, he must have done something wrong. And Logan always very visibly wears like his shame or when he thinks he's done something wrong. And I could see him like suddenly change mood and his little hands started shaking. And he was like, "I did. I thought they were family chips," like that. And I just took a big, deep breath. It was like I kept my composure and I just said, "Oh, it's okay." I was like, I was just gonna have some, like, suddenly I'm like, oh my God, you're acting like, it was like so clear to me. You're acting like a complete ass. You were way overreacting over a fucking bag of chips. Like, you could get more chips. This is not the last offer. Like, I had to tell myself, this is not the last time you're ever gonna eat these chips. You were just looking forward to it and you are disappointed. And I was like, oh, it's okay. And I said all the things, but it was such a good moment for me to realize that. Like sometimes we just get our old triggers and stuff, and that's okay. But one of the things that we have to do is we have to start working on these small changes in order for us to even know that we have these fears and anxieties. And so, in the very beginning, you know, sharing a half a pizza with Chris, having X amount of slices, helped me get over the hump of worrying that I wasn't going to get mine if I'm trying to lose weight. That's why these, like a lot of you, when you're looking at your level ups, you're looking at them through such a tiny, tiny lens. Is this going to help me lose weight or not? Like tomorrow. It's like, well, no. You know, a lot of these micro changes, you're not going to jump on the scale tomorrow and be down a pound. Sometimes when you're making micro changes, you might have a week or two, the scale doesn't move hardly at all. But the big things that are changing are happening. And then suddenly, every week, the scale's going down. Suddenly, like you're just watching the trend go down. And because you're making all these micro changes, guess what's not happening? You're not feeling like you're forcing yourself to do stuff. You're not feeling deprived all the time, which makes weight loss seem so long and hard. You're also like you're putting ease, and you'll wake up one day and you'll be like, you know, it was just so much easier than I thought. You'll just feel like you're on a roll because you are, because you're making so many little changes that it's becoming your lifestyle now. It's not taking so much effort every single day to do these things. What feels hard on day one, as long as you keep trying on day like 21, 51, 71, doesn't feel hard at all. And I know this is true. Think about the first day you drove. And now you probably get in the car and don't even think about it. Think about all the things that you do in life where you, one day you were a beginner and now it's just something that you do. The same thing happens with weight loss. Habits are habits. I have watched countless members. In fact, someone talked about it on our call this past Sunday where she was just like, you know, forever I wouldn't plan. I refused to plan. And I finally decided I was going to become a planner. So I started planning and I hated it in the beginning. And she's like a year in now. And she said, I honestly, it's my favorite part of the day now. I love getting up and spending that first 10 minutes. Just, I feel like it's just me time. And I plan my stuff. And when I'm done, I just feel so much better. That's what I want for you. But the first few times, all the insecurities are there. The worries and doubts, the trying to figure it out is there. That's why I keep telling you, if you're having some worries, doubts, and insecurities, that's not a big deal. Those are supposed to come up as you're making level ups. Just keep doing it. But as long as you're still, as long as you're worried but curious, as long as you are doubting but willing, you're doing just fine. Level ups also happen with time under tension. What that means is, let's say you have an urge and you, sorry, y'all, it is seasonal allergy time. My nose is killing me. So let's say you're having an urge and you want to eat something. You can start practicing time under tension techniques, which just means today, if I have an urge for chips, instead of going like, fuck, I've got an urge. This sucks. I don't want to sit through the discomfort. I'm just going to eat. You set a timer to wait 2 minutes. You start practicing being with it for longer intervals at a time. So you might want to say like, all right, for this week with urges, I want to start with X amount of minutes that I wait. It could be 1 minute, 2 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is. You find your sweet spot to be where you feel like it's not overwhelming to you, where you're like, I could sit and I could wait through this. And then you reevaluate at the end of the time. And then as you get better at waiting for that amount of time, you will see sometimes you're still going to be like, you know what? I don't want to sit through another interval. And sometimes you're going to be like, I'm willing to sit through another interval. Sometimes you're going to notice that if you just wait, it just passes. So often we eat when we have an urge, and then 2 minutes later, it would have been gone. But because we're so used to the second I have an urge, it's been like, ah, this is going to be awful. We just decide it's going to be awful. And so we just eat immediately so we don't have to experience the awful. Instead of sit like, let's just see. If I want to eat it, I'll eat it. I'll do like I'll do a discovery worksheet and stuff, but I'm not going to say like, I'm going to do a discovery worksheet and eat it and learn about it later. Do something before you eat that establishes that you're working on it. Train your brain that you are not just going to respond to urges immediately. You're now going to think through urges. So time under tension is a good level up. You can also level up the frequency of your overeats. So let's say that you notice that you average 6 a week, then you would make your goal 5 per week the next month. Or maybe you notice you get six per week and you're like, now I want to get down to five per week. And you look at, when do I tick? Like, where are my overeats? You look at your discovery worksheets and say, like, what are the patterns? Maybe you notice you've got a mindless one that keeps coming up where you're just like, the food's just there and I just grab it. So now you move that food somewhere else so that it's not mindless anymore. You put obstacles between you and the food so that it's not just happening like rote. So you can always do that. You can also do emotional level ups. So for some of you, you want to look at your days and you want to figure out where you can plug in some time to allow yourself to be happy. Most of us are just going through our days. We are not even taking 10 seconds to fucking be happy. To just take stock of I will just be real honest. When I came on, I was talking about what a good day it was. I did that on purpose to talk myself into, this is a good day. My day started with someone in my personal life who sent me a message who is upset with me. Over something that I didn't even know I did. I was like, what? And I was like, yeah, I knew I did that, but I was like, but I wasn't thinking that. I just said, here's what was going on for me when it happened. I'm very sorry that you feel this way. And then I offered a solution. But that's how my day started. And let me just tell you, Corinne's got a people pleaser streak in her. The last thing Corinne wants to hear is when people are upset with her, especially at 7 o'clock in the morning. So one of my level ups today was, don't be consumed when someone's disappointed in you. Like, I didn't want to spend my day disappointed in me. This doesn't mean I don't acknowledge their feelings. It doesn't mean that I won't think about it, but I also don't want to exclude all the other things that are right about the world right now. It is a beautiful day outside. I have been waiting for days like this. This is the most, it's really hard to not like the state of Tennessee in March and April. We have great temperatures. It's just fresh air, 70 degrees, I went walking this morning in shorts and in a sweatshirt. And I was just like, I love it. Sun just on my face. Well, I don't want to forget that because of this. So leveling up sometimes is like allowing yourself to be happy for a little bit. Sometimes, and that's on purpose. Another emotional level up is looking for shit in your life that you can let go of. Is there any drama that you're allowing yourself to get caught up in? Do you have friends arguing or just some bullshit? It could be on the news. Some of you, an emotional level up would be, I watch entirely too much news. I could probably watch news once a week and be completely caught up and not spend my days in the emotional drama of things. It doesn't mean you don't care about the world. It just means you're mindful of your internal world. And so look for emotional level ups you can make in your life. You also can make social level ups. Cut those dead ends. And I am not talking about hair. There are some people or circles in your life where if you don't feel like people have your back, maybe it's time to start walking away from those relationships. If you are with a group and they're just always negative, maybe it's time to find a group who's not. I think social level ups are some of the most important ones we make. If you want more connection in life, start texting people every week. Pick someone that you haven't talked to in a while and just randomly text them. Say, hey, I was thinking of you. Here's what I really appreciate about you, and I hope you have an amazing day. And then your social feeds. Cut out things that trigger you. My social feed is very clean. Well, now it's got a lot of half-naked men in it. I wouldn't say that clean. Clean in a good way. But I have unfollowed friends because they just tend to go on social and bitch. They always have a problem. I don't mind if you have a problem, but if every time I see you, you have a problem, now I emotionally have a problem. I really think the best way to level up your life is to always be surrounded by people who are working to better themselves and better the lives of other people. And that's what I try to curate inside of No BS for all of you. That is why community is so important in No BS. It's why we want you in accountability groups. And if you find an accountability group you don't mesh with, we will, I don't care if it takes 50 plugs until we get you into the right group. We are willing to move you around up to, I'll just say 50 times. We rarely have to move anybody more than 3 or 4 times, but I would do it 50 times to make sure you have the people you need supporting you in your life. Okay, that's our level ups. If anybody has, I don't think we have any questions. Looks like Kathy's got them all answered. Here's a good one. How do you draw the line between being too kind to yourself when you overeat? I find I'm so kind, no shame, which leads to overeating all the time. I would doubt that the lack of shame is what's leading to the overeat. There's being kind and there's being dismissive. Like to me, being kind to myself looks at the overeat and says, what did we learn? What are we willing to do different next time? And making sure that I am trying things over and over. I don't think like it's fine to be kind, but you also have to be creative. Sometimes what happens is like we think we either have to be nice or we have to be mean to ourselves. In order to solve overeats, I don't think you need kindness nor shame. I don't even think those are the feelings we're really wanting to generate. I need you to create kindness if your habit is to shame yourself. Like we want to apply kindness there. But what we really want to do is we want to be problem solvers. We want to feel determined and curious, very willing. That's what we really want to be feeling. So when you're having overeats, it's more about, are you, like I said this last week, when you do your discovery worksheets, y'all, most of you are doing discovery worksheets and you're going to find it's the same types of overeats over and over again. Challenge yourself to continue to do your discovery worksheets, but then when we come up with a way to try something different next time, never come up with more than one. Like, don't try an idea 2 times in a row. I guarantee that if you have a pattern with an overeat and you tried 30 different things versus the same thing over and over and over again, you will find something out of 30 attempts. If you just keep trying to do the same thing for 30 different times and being nice to yourself, after a certain amount of time, it's not the kindness that's not doing it. It's the, I keep trying the same thing and that one, that is obviously not my solution. So now what I need to do is I need to do this instead. Okay, this makes way more sense to me than applying kindness to everything. Focus on creating feelings, thoughts. Yes. So we want to be like when it comes to our discovery worksheets, we want to be thinking about like with our overeats, like I want to feel determined to solve this. Like I don't need to beat myself up. And I can tell myself, look, like don't just say it's okay that you did it. That is not a great thought to have. And a lot of you probably are using that one. Oh, it's okay. It's like, no, it's not okay. You know what it is? It's a problem to solve. So rather than saying it's okay that you did it, at least say this. It's okay that you did it. So now we're going to solve for it. Like, I don't need to beat myself up over it, but I do need to figure it out. I am willing to figure it out. I'm willing to try different things. I'm willing to get really honest with myself about why this happened. But I will tell all of you, shaming yourself is not a long-term solution for weight loss. If the only way to get you to do better is to shame yourself, then what happens is then once you get to your goal, you have to shame yourself to stay there. And what is it that you want most when you lose weight? I want to be happy. I want to be proud. Well, if the only way that you can lose weight is to shame yourself, then the only way to stay there means you have to keep using that tool. So what we do when we're losing weight is if like we want to be happy and proud when we get there, we want to be confident when we get there, then we have an overeat. We're not really looking to be kind to ourselves. We're not going to beat ourselves up, but we need to find something we can try that we're confident we will do the next time to see if it works. We need to be confident that if we keep trying different things, we'll eventually solve this. Do you notice how, like, that's kind? That is being kind to yourself. Being kind to yourself isn't just saying it's okay. And I'm fine if you remind yourself, like, and here's all the things you did right so that you can offset the potential beatdown that could come. It's like, here's all the things that you did right. And here's all the things we can try so that we can add more of that to our here's the things we're doing right column. See if there was anything else in there. I got a couple more minutes. How can you tell the difference between physical hunger and need versus want? Physical hunger will be somewhere in your body. The easiest way I like to do it is if you need it. Like it's a need or just a want, it's usually very specific. Like if you're physically hungry, like go to a third world country. If you offered them broccoli, how many of them would turn their nose up? Not a damn one. If you offered them carrots, not a damn one. If you offered them boring fucking food, they would not turn it down because that's actual hunger and they're ready to eat. Like I would go to a third world country and say, do you want broccoli? And they'd be like, well, no, don't you have chips? Isn't there something? Can we just go look around your pantry and see what do you got in there that would be more exciting? A need or a want almost always is very specific for a certain food. Now, this does not mean that that you shouldn't be eating those things. It's just often a need or a want for something specific when it comes to food, usually isn't about the food. It's because in the moment you have a need or a want underneath the food also. So I really want to eat chips because I'm tired of working on this project. It's like, if you were really hungry, you'd be willing to go eat some broccoli and then come back to the project. So I always like to think about that. Like, if I wouldn't just eat whatever, then probably have a need for something else. I have like an emotional need that's going unmet, or I have an emotional need that I want to feel, and I'm trying to do that with food. But this is the real key to it. Sometimes you're going to have needs and wants because you are so afraid to eat these foods, you're never planning them. And I want all of you to explore these foods that you're afraid of and that you think are wrong. I really want you to start questioning, do I overeat them because they taste so good? Or do I overeat them because I rarely give them myself permission to have them? And when I do, I lose control because of that. because somewhere inside of me, I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to eat it. I'm going to have to take it away. Somewhere inside of me, I'm afraid it's just really bad for me and that I'm doing wrong. Most of the time, that's what's running underneath the surface. So that's why we want to practice eating these foods. Because I promise all of you, there are a lot of, you can eat the foods you love, but we're going to use it with hunger. We're going to use it with enough. We're not going to eat them all the time because if you ate them all the time, you'd start getting bored of them. They wouldn't have that much draw and power over you. And that's what we want. Like the foods I love, I do want them to be special when I have them. I want to really enjoy them. I want to look forward to them. I do not want to have these foods in reaction to life. I do not want to have these foods to make up for things, my shortcomings in life. And I don't want to be having these foods all the time and feeling like ass. Y'all, I love nachos and I used to love wine. I've now had to swear off the wine. It's just not treating me well. But that was after several times of feeling awful on wine to finally say, like, okay, I'm ready to ditch it. I'm going to miss it. But I refuse to feel this awful anymore. It is having a violent reaction inside my body. So if I promise y'all, if I ever drink wine, I will plan it. And I will know 100% you are fixing to feel like ass. So just be thinking about all that. Level up is about thinking. It's really just about thinking. Thinking about what you want to try, what you're willing to change, all the things that you're willing to change. Leveling up is not a command. Leveling up is not sweeping changes. But leveling up works. And it doesn't just work slow. It works way faster than the ways you've been trying. It works faster than restriction. It works faster than 180 degree turns. Because level ups build and they build fast. It only feels slow in the beginning. And then one day you wake up and everything's moving faster. Everything feels good. You start thinking, I don't know when it changed, but all of this just got easier for me. And now I love the things I do. And that's what I want for you with level ups. All right. Y'all have a good one. I will see y'all on Sunday for coaching. Bye, y'all.